Perhaps one of the saddest stories in the Bible is the one toward the end of Genesis that includes Joseph and his 12 brothers, 11 brothers. Because Joseph was his father's favorite, he received a special coat. God had specially chosen him, so he received some special dreams. And his brothers didn't like it. They were envious. They wanted the love of their parents. And so because of that, it led them to sell him into slavery, threatened murder, all kinds of problems. And I know that in the end, God used this and redeemed it in order to redeem his people from the land of Egypt and prepare them for the nation of Israel. But it's still sad as we witness the sibling rivalry. In fact, sibling rivalry almost seems to be a theme throughout the Old Testament. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Ishmael, Leah and Rachel, David and Eliab, Joseph and his brothers. Again and again and again, we witness the rivalry between siblings. The reality is, when we talk about family, this is just one of the things that needs to be dealt with. Brothers and sisters who struggle and fuss with each other, who have rivals among one another, and the infighting that happens and take place. It's been there since the beginning, and it will probably always be there. And so as we wrap up our look tonight at the family for this month, there will no doubt be more looks at the family in time to come, but as we wrap up this month, our March on the Family, we want to look at how to overcome sibling rivalry. I don't know what it is about bringing that thing up here on the stage. David's going to try to fix it. It was working this morning. It was working a little while ago. I just used it. Thanks. Overcoming sibling rivalry. There's a lot of places that we could go to look at for sibling rivalry. There's a lot of places that we could go to take a look at siblings who were rivals. But we're going to spend some time in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. This was read to us moments ago, so we're not going to read it tonight. If those who are listening on the recording want to pause and read through it, it's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. But we've just read that moments ago, and so we're just going to dive in here and recognize the rivalry that's taking place. And hopefully by the end of tonight, we'll be able to work on whatever sibling rivalry is going on in our homes and overcome that. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful. We love you. We praise you. You are awesome and powerful. You are the glorious Father in heaven. We lift you up. We honor you. And we pray that you would be with us in our homes. Help us as husbands and wives, as parents and children, and help us now as brothers and sisters in order to overcome the rivalry and the struggles and the strife that often goes on in our homes, that we can bring honor and glory to you, not just within our home, but in our relationships as we relate to one another, even outside in public. Father, we're so thankful for the brothers and sisters that are here. We pray that you would bless their families. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Overcoming sibling rivalry. The first thing that I hope we recognize is, how does sibling rivalry manifest itself? When we look here in Luke chapter 15, I think especially with that older brother, we recognize the rivalry. And there's five things that I hope we can see very quickly here where rivalry manifests itself. The very first thing, when we look in verse 28, but he was angry. He was angry. Rivalry presents itself with the resentment, the anger. Who knows what might have caused it? Who knows what the sibling had done? Sometimes it's just a misperception, but sometimes it's an actual affront. But there's some type of anger, some type of resentment that is carried on. Maybe the sibling did something that harmed the other sibling. Maybe they took something. Maybe they hurt them. Maybe they mocked them. Maybe they excluded them. But whatever happened, there's some type of resentment that just kind of carries on, this seething anger that just pops up again and again and again. The second thing we notice is that he was angry and he refused to go in. Stubbornness. How many times between siblings that what we experience is just a whole lot of stubbornness. I want it my way. I don't want it your way. I don't care why you want it your way. I am not going to give in to your way. And we just have a whole lot of stubbornness. I'm going to dig my heels in and we're just going to sit here and we're going to fight it out. How many of us have witnessed the brothers or the sisters or the brothers and sisters fussing and fighting? Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Please tell me that happens in somebody else's house as well. We have those things going on all the time. It's that stubbornness. I'm going to get my way. Thirdly, we recognize the comparison. Notice what the son does in verse 29. He answered the father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." What's he doing? He's comparing. I've been better. I've been better than him, but you've loved him more. Comparison. In rivalry, that's the thing that's going on. Wanting to compare. Either look at how much better I am, or look at how much worse he or she is. Comparison. And then the fourth thing that we see manifested is demands. Basically what the older son, the older brother is demanding is, I want some fairness. You've never done this for me, but now you've done this for him. I want it to be fair. And certainly fairness is not a bad desire. And yet he misunderstood what was really needed in this moment as he was busy making his demands for how things should go the way he wanted them to go. And finally, punishment. Punishment. I want some punishment. This son of yours devoured your goods. He deserves punishment. If you're not going to punish him, I'll punish him. I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to celebrate with you. I'll show him what he really deserves. If you're not going to punish him, I will. These are the manifestations of sibling rivalry, of struggles that take place between siblings. The question then is, what is really at the heart of sibling rivalry? What causes sibling rivalry? Now, obviously, in any given situation, any struggle or strife that's going on between siblings, brothers and sisters, two brothers, two sisters, there can be a whole host of individual reasons that might have caused any particular engagement of rivalry. Look, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 applies to everybody. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's true that if you want to, you're going to find something to be able to be upset at your brother or sister about. They did something. We've all done things. That's just the way it is. But when we're talking about sibling rivalry, I think we need to understand that there really is a root. There is a heart of the matter that's going on as we're talking about rivals who are brothers and sisters, opponents, competitors who are competing over and for something. What is it that they are competing over and for? Here is the heart of sibling rivalry, and we see it in this older brother. Sibling rivalry is the battle among brothers and sisters to win the love, acceptance, and approval of their parents. Listen to what he says. Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Do you hear the cry and the plea that's behind this statement? I've been with you forever. You haven't shown me this kind of love. I've been with you this whole time. I've always done what you said. You've never allowed me to celebrate like this. Show me your love. Show me your acceptance. Show me your approval. Don't show it to him. He's a rotten louse. Look at what he did. What's going on? It's a competition for the love, the acceptance, and the approval of the parents. The problem here is, in sibling rivalry, is treating the love of parents as if it is a zero-sum game. As if there's just so much. As if it's like a bottle of Coke. Have you ever had the six-pack of Coke in the fridge and now it's down to just one? And the two siblings are arguing over it. And of course, as a good parent, what do we say? I've got the solution. We'll divide it between you. Right? So we'll pour some out. And what do both siblings know? I'd have gotten more Coke if you hadn't been here. Right? I'd have gotten more Coke if you hadn't been here. I'd have got the whole can, but no, you had to take some of the Coke. And the problem is that when it comes to sibling rivalry and the love and the acceptance and the approval of the parents, there is almost this idea that it's just like that bottle of Coke. That any love and acceptance and approval that is given to the sibling is taking away love and acceptance and approval from me. Instead of recognizing that love doesn't work like that. Listen, time works like that and money works like that, but love doesn't work like that. Love is not something that's bottled up that says there's only so much of it, and if some of it is given to someone else, I don't get as much. That's not how love works. But that's the problem. That's the envision, the love, the acceptance, the approval. I am trying desperately to win that, to claim that, to say that I get it, and I get more of it. And so now I'm in competition and I'm in rivalry to prove that I deserve it better and they deserve it less. That is sibling rivalry. And that is the heart of it. So if we're going to overcome sibling rivalry, let's talk about what we as parents can do to help overcome sibling rivalry in our home. How can parents work to overcome sibling rivalry? I want to share with you four things very briefly that we can do. Obviously, our children have a choice in the matter. We can do everything right and they may decide to still fuss and fight all the time. But things that we can do to try to help mitigate the rivalry that's going on. Number one, shower love, approval, and acceptance on each child. Shower love, acceptance, and approval on each child. Now, this is a struggle. When we look in Luke chapter 15, I think most of us would say that the Father represents God. And so because of that, we're not going to see that this idea of not feeling loved is because the Father didn't do his job right. But we do need to recognize that this older brother is saying, you're showing him love that you haven't shown me. Now, this is probably because of his misperception, at least based in this story. But can you understand if you're showering love on one child and not on the other, there's going to be some rivalry. We need to shower love and acceptance and approval on each child. I know that our time has to be divided. I know that our money has to be divided. I know that there are all kinds of things that we have to do in those arenas. But we need to make sure in every way we possibly can that our children know that we love them and we accept them. And we give them our approval as our children. That's not necessarily approving every action they do, and I understand that. But that we're glad that they're our child. We want them in our family. And yes, tonight's lesson is not about what to do when we've got the prodigal son who needs to be disciplined. That's not what we're talking about. But under normal circumstances, we love you, accept you, approve you. We want you to be a part of the family. And we need to shower that on our children. That's tough sometimes for some parents. That's tough for the parent who's jealous of their child. Sometimes it's hard to show love and appreciation and acceptance and approval if we're jealous. For instance, the father who struggled to barely make C's in school, but has his child who just fritters their time away, but is just acing everything. And now they're jealous and mad. And so instead of showering love and acceptance approval, they're constantly critiquing and trying to point out where you really don't measure up that much. That happens. Shower with love, acceptance, and approval. Sometimes it's hard to shower love and acceptance and approval on that child who is different from you. The hard-driving type A parent sometimes struggle to show love, acceptance, and approval for that free spirit child that's always flying by the seat of their pants. That's tough, isn't it? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. That parent who was musically inclined, who loved to be in band and was in choir, sometimes struggles to show love and acceptance and approval for the kid who hates music and instead wants to play soccer or football. And vice versa, the one who was the star championship quarterback back in high school sometimes has a hard time showing love and acceptance and approval to the son who wants to play clarinet. What do we need to do? We need to shower each of our children with love and acceptance and approval. And of course, sometimes it's hard to shower love and acceptance and approval on the child who breaks the rules. And certainly children who break the rules need to have discipline. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But we need to find places where we can shower them with love and acceptance and approval. I'm glad you're my daughter. I'm glad you're my son. And here's why. These are the things that you're good at. Catch them doing things that are right and let them know. Not just constantly critiquing them about the things that they're doing wrong. There's a place for that. But we need to shower our kids with love and approval and acceptance. Deplore favoritism. Deplore favoritism. That's what the older son is declaring. Again, I understand in our parable tonight that this is his misperception. But when he misperceives favoritism, it causes this much trouble. How much more trouble is it going to cause when favoritism is really there? And it really does happen sometimes. In Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Each of them had their own favorite. And what this eventually caused was deception and lies, even between the parents, between the children and the parents, between the brothers, and it even caused the threat of death and the fear and Jacob having to leave home for years. All because it started with Isaac and Rebekah having their individual favorites. We need to deplore favoritism. Now please understand, when I say deplore favoritism, that doesn't mean treat all of your children the exact same way. Treating children who are different the exact same way is not actually fair. Expecting the same thing from children who are different is not actually fair. That's not treating them properly. And deploring favoritism does not mean that on Christmas you specifically count and make sure that every child got the exact same number of presents. It doesn't mean that every time one child gets to do something, the other child also gets to do it. There are all kinds of factors, sometimes because of age, sometimes because of responsibility, sometimes because, look, kids, you have to learn that just because somebody else gets something doesn't mean you do. That's just life. It's not about favoritism. That's just the way life works. And so when I'm saying deplore favoritism, it doesn't mean do those little surface things, but I'll tell you what it does mean. Look at what happened there in Genesis 25. Why did Isaac love Esau? Because Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Isaac could eat of his game. Why did Rebekah love Jacob? Well, because he was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac could really get into what Esau got into. He really loved that stuff. And so it just became natural for him to gravitate toward Esau. Rebekah, on the other hand, really loved the quiet, gentle nature of Jacob, his home-dwelling nature. She could get into that. Deploring favoritism means I recognize that my kids don't have to be just like me and they don't have to be just like each other, but I'm still going to let them pursue their dreams and their hopes. I'm still going to try to give them the opportunities rather than trying to funnel them into my hopes and dreams for them. I'm going to recognize that Jacob gets to be a tent dweller and that's okay. I'm going to recognize that Esau gets to be a hunter and that's okay. Every one of these kids is different and I'm not going to require them to be just like me and give favoritism to the one who is. And that is so tough. That's hard. I'm just going to tell you, I was talking to my brother-in-law about this the other day. He said I needed to make sure to bring this point up. You probably don't even know if you're playing favorites. Because as far as you're concerned, well, obviously I appreciate this son better. He's doing everything right. Obviously I appreciate this daughter. She's doing everything right. No, they're just doing everything like you. The fact that they don't necessarily like the things you like doesn't make the other one wrong. The fact that they don't approach life the exact same way you do doesn't make them wrong. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Ask an outside observer if you're showing favoritism, because they'll probably be able to help. I learned a wonderful statement a long time ago. It's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle. So ask somebody who's on the outside, look at the label. Am I showing favoritism? Deplore favoritism. The third thing that we as parents need to do to help overcome sibling rivalry is refuse comparison. Here in Luke chapter 15, the older brother wanted to bring the comparison up, but the father refused. What a powerful thing. When the younger brother came home and said, "Father, I've done all these things and I shouldn't have. Can I be your servant?" He doesn't say, "Why weren't you more like your older brother?" He doesn't wag his finger in his face. "You know, you could have been more like your older brother and your life would have been better." He doesn't say that. When the older brother's out there, he does not entertain this comparison. If we want to get rid of sibling rivalry, we just need to realize that our kids are different. And never, ever, ever should we say, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" Never, ever, ever should we say, "You know, your sister's never done anything like this." We just need to remove that. If the one son or daughter has done something wrong and we need to discipline, let's just talk to him about that. It doesn't have to be about how they compare to the other one. Refuse comparison. Even when the kids are trying to bring it up, because they will. They will. They'll try to set themselves up. One is better and the other one is worse. And finally, parents, reaffirm love after discipline. Children are going to do things wrong. Children break rules. Hey, it's our job to make the rules. It's their job to test the rules to see if they really are rules. We've just got to understand that. They're going to break them sometime. And when they do, our job is going to have to be to train them and instruct them and discipline them. But when we have done that, we need to understand that our kids, teenagers and younger, are probably not mature enough to understand that the discipline itself is a form of love. We know that because we've studied Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 5, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" This is Hebrews 12 and verse 5. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" And it makes that comparison between God and our earthly fathers. But the point is, the father who disciplines his child is the one who loves the child. Discipline administered properly is itself love, even though it's hard to recognize that. I understand. And so look, I didn't think it was love when I got grounded. I didn't think it was love when I got spanked. I didn't understand that until much later. Anybody else understand that? Did y'all get that? You were 9 years old and you got grounded and you thought, "Oh, what a wonderful expression of love. My parents just locked me in my room." I mean, obviously, they're not mature enough to understand that. And so when that's done, what do we need to do? We need to make sure to reaffirm our love for them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul here is talking about congregational discipline, but the same principle needs to be applied in our homes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, "For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you, reaffirm your love for him." Now, when I say reaffirm your love for your child when you've had to discipline them, that doesn't mean grovel and beg for them to approve you as if you're afraid they're not going to love you anymore because you disciplined them. What it does mean is letting them know, "Listen, you need to understand, I'm really angry at you right now. You broke this rule, and we've talked about this before, and I am really upset. But here's what I need you to understand. I still love you just as much as I did yesterday. And I'll still love you just as much tomorrow. I am mad at you. I am angry at you. But I want you to know, I still love you. Can I give you a hug?" And reaffirm that love. Letting them know that this is not a separation. This is merely a discipline and a training. Parents, if we want to help our kids overcome sibling rivalry, here are the things that we can do. Shower love, approval, and acceptance on our children. Deplore favoritism, refuse comparison, and make sure we reaffirm love when we've disciplined them. But the fact is, sometimes when it comes to sibling rivalry, it's not all just about what the parents do. Parents aren't always to blame. Sometimes children, kids, teens, sometimes the problem here is some misperception on your part. And we need you to work on you to overcome the sibling rivalry. So how can siblings work to overcome rivalry? There's four things that I want to share with you as well. Number one, start with yourself. In Luke chapter 15, the older brother, when the father comes out to him and says what's going on, the older brother says, "Look, these many years I've served you and I never disobeyed your command." Does anybody here believe that this older brother never, ever disobeyed his dad? Of course not. That is an absolutely, utterly ridiculous claim. But we've got a fella here that is so upset and he's got so much resentment, he's got so much anger that he is not able to perceive clearly. He's got a log in his own eye that does not allow him to see clearly what is going on. And young people, even adults who have sibling rivalry issues going on, we need to remove that. And the way we remove that is by starting with ourselves. What's my side of this? There is nothing that is more frustrating than to be talking to two brothers or two sisters or a brother and a sister about some fight that's going on, and you're trying to let both of them see, here's what you've done, and all they can do is point the finger at the other person. There's nothing more frustrating to see that when I'm counseling married couples too, by the way, because it's the same kind of thing that goes on. Frustrating is all. Get out. Where do you need to start? Start with yourself. The fact is, you're never going to grow if you don't start with yourself. You're always going to have this problem with your brother or your sister or other people until you step back and say, "What was my involvement? And now I'm going to deal with that." Start with yourself. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is recognize your parents' love for you. Recognize your parents' love for you. I think I'm probably looking at people here who's pretty much everybody here, I think. Your parents love you. Now, they may struggle to show it with you because they have their own issues of rivalry or they have their own issues of spiritual growth that they need to deal with. They may struggle to show it with you because you're different from them. But I think I'm looking at a group of people who most of us here can say and be able to say, my parents really do love me. And I want to encourage you to recognize this is not a zero-sum game. It's not a Coke bottle. When they show some love to your brother or your sister, they're not taking love away from you in order to give it to them. Recognize that they love you. Here's what's really sad about this older brother. When the father responds to him, look at what he says in verse 31. This is Luke 15:31. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." Do you notice he doesn't say all that is mine will be yours? He says all that is mine is yours. What was really going on here is this older brother didn't understand his place in the family. He hadn't recognized what love he had really been given. The father had never given him permission to go celebrate with a friend because the father didn't think he had to give permission. All that is mine is yours. If you had wanted to go celebrate with your friends, those goats were yours. You could have gone and done it. But this son didn't understand the relationship he really had. Now, young people, please understand, I'm talking about this guy. This doesn't mean that your parents are saying, my car is your car, go get it anytime you want. It's not that kind of thing. But what it is saying is please recognize, because here, this older brother, he misunderstood. He didn't recognize the love that his father had offered him and been offering him. And I want to encourage you to recognize that your parents love you. And if there's a real problem there, if you're not sure, if you're not convinced, then what I encourage you to do is very respectfully talk to them and say, I got to tell you, I'm not feeling the love. I don't sense it. I need you to shower me with some of that. I don't feel the acceptance. I don't think you're glad to have me as your child. And be prepared for them to get really defensive because they're probably not ready for you to say that to them, but stay respectful and work through it. Probably you shouldn't do that in the middle of a fight that you're already having. It's probably not going to work then. But in a calm time. But I encourage you. I'm guessing your parents love you. And if there's any problem, it's more just in how to express it than it is how to feel it. Recognize your parents' love for you. The third thing that I would suggest to you is that you need to learn, rather than to compete with your siblings, is to celebrate with your siblings. This was the problem here with this young man in Luke chapter 15. The father said to him in verse 32, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." The fact is, sometimes our siblings receive a blessing or a favor or a benefit that we don't. Instead of competing with them, we should celebrate with them on that. That is great. It is so awesome that your dad and mom love you that much that this is what can happen in our family. That is great. That is so wonderful. It doesn't have to always be a competition. Learn to celebrate the benefits and the blessings that your siblings get. You should love them that much. We need to learn to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoicing with those who rejoice even when I have cause to weep. Weeping with those who weep even when I have cause to rejoice. It doesn't have to be a competition. We need to learn to celebrate. Siblings, I encourage you, when good things happen to your brothers and sisters, celebrate with them. Don't compete with them. And finally, start with yourself, recognize your parents' love, celebrate with your siblings, and sometimes, there really is a problem. Sometimes your siblings really do things wrong. As we said, Romans 3:23 applies to everybody. And so when that happens, you need to gently approach your siblings. It's really the same thing that God tells everyone. If somebody's done something against you or you have something against someone, you need to go to them. If you know they have something against you, you need to go to them. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 explains how we need to go to each other. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." The problem is, far too often siblings aren't wanting to restore one another. They're wanting to put one another in their place. And they're wanting to show the parents that, look, see what a rotten louse they are? You should be punishing them. Instead, go to them with gentleness out of a desire to restore and help and protect. When you go to them to talk to them about whatever the issue is, go to them gently and talk to them. The fact is, sibling rivalry, I think, it's happened since the beginning. The very first brothers were rivals. It's going to happen till the end of time. There's always going to be the struggle because Romans 3:23 says that we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. It's just going to happen. But if we want to overcome it, it's something that we're going to have to work at. Parents working to shower love, acceptance, and approval, and siblings working to recognize that love and working with one another to celebrate with one another, gently approaching one another. But we can overcome, and it can get better. And you don't have to grow up with rivalry so that it carries on into adulthood, because sometimes it can. And I have to tell you, your siblings, your brothers, your sisters, they're your family. They're going to be your family for the rest of your life. Your best friend in junior high, trust me, in 5 or 6 years, they're not going to be in your life. They're just going to be a Facebook friend. I understand there are exceptions, but for the most part, your best friend in junior high, even your best friend in high school, is destined to become just a Facebook acquaintance. But your brother or your sister is going to be your brother and sister for the rest of your life. I encourage you, work to overcome the rivalry. How are you doing at that? If you're going to be using your songbook tonight, would you pull that out now, please? Song number 711, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Blessed be the tie that binds. You know, maybe sadder than the sibling rivalry that happens in biological families is the sibling rivalry sometimes that happens among spiritual families. Blessed be the tie that binds. All this stuff that we've said here really applies in our relationships with one another. Blessed be the tie that binds. In your biological family, understand that there is a tie. The tie of blood, the tie of heritage, the tie of parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, the tie of family history. In our family here, there is a tie that binds. Guess what it is? It's the tie of blood. Not our blood, but Jesus' blood. What a wonderful blessing. Are you a part of that? Does that tie bind you to us? If not, we want to help you with that tonight. We want you to be a part of the family of God. If we can help you with that, or maybe you've had some rivalry in your biological family or in the spiritual family, some struggles, and you need some help with that. If we can help you spiritually, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?